unspoken prayer request for Ed Brown and Nicole Brown, and also unspoken prayer request for Shay and her son James. And James is my little brother. Shay used to be my stepmom.
We've been asked to pray for Barbara Armstrong, who's having a surgical procedure today involving cancer. Also, Nick Medina is having a tumor removed near his spine. And then the family of June Tice, who passed away Tuesday.
Okay. And I'm also going to add one from our own congregation, John Ternes. You know, John, his wife Wilma. I got a report from them yesterday. His lungs still filled up with fluid, and he's really, really weak. He went to OU Medical yesterday. They were going to look at starting some chemotherapy, and they decided they couldn't do it because he's too weak. They said, we would like to admit you for these other tests. I thought, we don't have a bed. We don't have a room. Go back home. I mean, these, you know, and they're a little bit older people and going through this struggle for a while now, and it's tough, boy. And, you know, I understand when people are dealing with doctors and having a lot of medical procedures done. It's life-sucking. It's what it is. And I know the doctors are doing everything in their power to try to help people. I'm not going to fault them. But, man, the whole process is just, especially when you live 100 miles away from the doctor, the hospital. So they're back and forth. They no sooner get back home with him so weak he can't hardly get out of the car. And they told him it'd be 3-4 days before they had a bed, which is pretty bad. But they get back home, and they just driving into Burns Flat, and they get a call from OU Medical. Says, turn around, come back, we got a bed. Now, they're totally exhausted. But if you don't turn around and go back, we got to give this bed to somebody else. So they got to go. It's like, man. So we want to pray about that. And we know that Barbara's going through it, Nick Medina, others, Lord Jesus. As we come before you, Lord, our hearts go out to these who are having such tremendous trials, Lord God. But, Lord, I'm mindful of the fact that every one of these trials, all these things that I just mentioned, and even the unspoken requests, and you know what they are, but every one of these trials and things has to do with our earthly life, which is temporary. Our earthly life, which is subject to change. Father, I want to begin by thanking you for the eternal realm, the spirit realm of heaven, whereby we are saved by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, eternally saved, secure, at rest, and at peace. And Father, I pray for these, Lord God, who are facing these temporary situations, that you would, with your eternal grace, make a change in the temporary. Jesus, we believe, because your word says so, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not, you have not changed a bit. Jesus, we know that you're seated at the right hand of Father God in heaven, because when you were on this earth, you died on the cross for our sins, you were buried in a grave, and you were raised for our justification, our redemption, to purchase for us complete and total freedom from sin and every effect of sin. And because you are seated at the right hand of the Father now, Jesus, we believe even more so that his power, the power of the Almighty God, is released to us because of what you have done for us, Jesus. But we know that when you were even here on earth, before you died on the cross, you were able to raise the dead, you were able to heal lepers, you were able to heal those who were born blind and deaf and lame, and there was not anything that was too difficult for you. And so with that in mind, we bring before you Barbara Armstrong, Lord God, and we rebuke that evil cancer in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Father, that these medical professionals, Lord God, would be guided by your Holy Spirit, that this surgical procedure would go perfectly. We pray for Nick Medina also, Lord God, having a tumor removed near spine. In the name of Jesus, Father, we're asking you for a complete and total recovery for each and every one of these. Father, we pray for Ed and Nicole Brown. We pray for Shay and James. God, you know what's going on. You know every detail of every person. And I pray for my friend and my brother in the Lord, John Ternes, and his beautiful wife, Wilma, Lord. May your grace and peace and blessing and favor rest upon them. Strengthen those whose physical bodies have been failing them, that they've been attacked by sickness, which is a direct result of sin, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've redeemed us from it. I confess, as your word states, that by your stripes we were healed. And we claim that today. And we pray, Lord God, we pray for the family of June Tice, Lord God. And we want to just pray, Lord, for the healing of their emotions and their spirit, Lord God, at the passing of June. We pray that you comfort them, Holy Spirit, as only you can. And we pray, Lord God, for those who recently, Lord, my mind goes out to those who have recently had properties just devastated by storms and people who've lost loved ones and people who've been injured. And we just hold them before you today and ask for your grace, your mercy to be upon them in every way. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for my brother Ivan Barrera right now too, Lord. As far as I know, he's doing good, but I hold him before you, Father, right now. I pray for Jonathan, Lord Jesus. You know which Jonathan I'm talking about. I pray for Cody. I pray for Jody. And Father, we declare today that no sickness, no disease has a right, covenant right, to attach itself and attack the people who confess Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. So we stand in agreement with your word that by your stripes, Jesus, they were healed, and we appropriate that healing to them now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you hear that?
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
And Joshua's Crossings Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. We sure appreciate this awesome room. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
Bardice and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Monica, did you hear that?
Dana, did you hear that?
I heard something.
541 minutes. Okay, praise God. We're running this thing. 541 minutes. That's right here on the microphone. I got 541 minutes left. Praise the Lord. We could do it too, couldn't we? Hey, we've been talking about hearing the voice of God. Title today is, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Well, when it comes to God's voice, I believe this. I believe every day without fail, he will speak to you and speak to you throughout the day if you will let him. I mean, realize that God did not send his only begotten son to the world to establish a new world religion. He sent Jesus into the world. God himself became flesh and blood in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to live a sinless life, die on the cross for our sins so that we could be reconciled to the Father, literally made one. When God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall, they would hear, they'd listen to his voice. They would fellowship as they went throughout the day. I believe God did that. He reestablished that connection for us. It's his desire in sending Jesus Christ to this earth to redeem us was to purchase back for himself a people created for fellowship. We were created to fellowship with God. He said, come. He looked at all the creation. He goes, it's good. All these animals, it's all good. This whole beautiful earth, it's all good. But on the sixth day, God said, come, let us make man in our own image. Well, I wonder why. For fellowship. He didn't make the angels in his own image. The angels are the servants of God. They're not the children of God. We're his children. I don't know about you, but I believe children and parents ought to have a relationship. And I really think children ought to hear the parents' voice. And you ready for this? And I really think the parents ought to hear children's voice. And I can assure you this, in God's case, I guarantee you this, every time you speak, he hears you, even when he don't want to, if you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you're grumbling, complaining, blah, 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 whatever, let alone when you're talking potty words or ugly. But he even has to hear that. I tell the children at children's church at times, I will tell them this. I say, you know, if you're struggling, how many of you in here ever struggle to believe that God hears you when you pray? And they'll be like, they're honest. They'd be like, yeah, I struggle with that. Sometimes it can feel like your prayers don't even reach the ceiling, you know. But good news, they don't have to. They're not going through the ceiling. They're just got to come out of your spirit, and your spirit's in fellowship with God's spirit. There is no distance to travel. You know, it's okay to be loud when you pray, but you don't have to be. God can hear your very thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that God knows every word before it's formed on your lips. That's something to think about, ain't it? Especially if you don't use your words very well. God knows. He listens. The question is, do we listen? If we want to have a beautiful relationship, think about a marriage where the people don't have, there's the number one cause for relationship breakdown, lack of what? Sex? No. Money? No. Those can be issues. Yes, they can. But honestly, even then, it's just communication. It's when one of the individuals in the relationship's got unmet needs and it's not being communicated. I don't care what the need is. Communication, lack of communication destroys relationships. If you're having marital problems right now, honestly, the number one thing you need to do is communicate. And you say, well, I try, but they won't listen. Well, talk to God. Communicate with him about your lack of communication in your marriage. And then try to, I'm going to be careful about this one, but don't always put the blame on the other person. I mean, maybe they are more at fault than you, but are you without fault? I doubt it, because I know I'm not. Every time I get upset, Sharon said something to me, boy, the other day that just, I didn't like it. I felt like she passed up a really beautiful opportunity to not say something. We were talking about when we were younger and we're in the ministry and this and that, and I mentioned something about parents, and I said, I know they're having a struggle with their kids right now. And, I mean, it can be difficult with teenagers and whatever. And Sharon goes, tell me about it, you know. When our kids were teenagers, you were all up to the church early every Sunday morning doing your thing and getting ready to minister and just have your way and just, you know, and enjoying being who God called you to be. And I was at home with kids that didn't want to get up out of bed and this and that and the other. She goes, and I said, well, we were both fighting the devil on our own front, weren't we? And she goes, well, I know I was. I don't know about you. You were just doing your thing. And, man, that just got me. It offended me. It offended me. My little feathers went. And I told her, I said, you know, you could have not said that. You could have just said, yeah, we were both fighting the devil. I said, but you didn't choose to do that. I mean, my little feathers were all ruffled up. We had just come home from church. Hey, in case you didn't know this, pastors are human. But they're saved, or at least I hope they are. I know I am, and Sharon is. But we're still people. And so I was like this. I said, well, I don't know what you plan to do for lunch, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm a cook for myself. You do whatever you want. And I went in the house, not very happy, with my little feathers all ruffled out. And I started taking my church clothes off, and I'm thinking to myself, I think I'll go to town and eat. She can do whatever she wants. And guess what happened? I heard a still small voice. The Lord spoke real soft to me, and he goes, you offended? You know I am. If you were walking in love, would you be offended?
Oh, Lord.
No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry, Lord. See, he didn't talk to me about what she did wrong.
Come on.
That's between him and her. The truth is, if I was listening to him at the moment and whatever, I would have let that go. Even though it stung and I thought it was completely unnecessary, I felt like she's attacking me. And for what reason? Why are you attacking me? What did I do wrong? But I didn't let it go. I let it ruffle my feathers. But to the credit of the Holy Spirit, not to me, he smoothed those feathers down pretty quickly. And I let him. And I repented. And I told her, listen, I'm going to cook something. I'll be happy to cook for you if you want me to. She goes, whatever you want to do. So I cooked her a nice meal. Cooked myself a nice meal. Cooked her a nice meal. Got it all done. Come here and sit by me. We'll eat together. I said, I'm sorry I got offended. I didn't say nothing to her about what she did. You want to have a beautiful marriage? I just told you how to do it. You're going to have problems, man. You're going to get rats in your ship. I'm talking about marriage, but how about your relationship with your coworkers or other family members? You know? If it weren't for that voice of the Lord and me being able to hear and listen, I'd have probably stayed. I know people can get mad and stay mad for a long time. And I don't know if I could or not. I'm one of those people that's kind of, you know, I could get upset quick, but I can sure get over it quick, too. It's a personality thing. But I'd be more likely to hold it, you know, even though I might not keep it right there on the surface, but I'd be like, keep my guard up. You know, forgiveness is complete. That doesn't mean you keep sticking your hand in the same fire, hoping you don't get burned this time, in case you needed to hear that. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not taking someone who's been abusing you and just letting them continue to abuse you. That's not, God would not have you to forgive them in that manner. I believe God would have you to bring them before his presence and ask on their behalf, Lord, help them. Help them, Father, deliver them from this evil. Forgive them. On my behalf, forgive them. But Lord, don't ask. You're not asking me to be around them, are you? And he'd go, of course I'm not. I would never ask you to put yourself right back in that harmful situation and call it forgiveness. You know, the alcoholic who comes home after drinking, spending up the whole month's rent, and they're being evicted, and he tells his wife, "Forgive me. I won't drink it again. I won't do it again." She goes, "I forgive you." That doesn't mean she has to continue to let him keep a hold of the purse strings. You know? I mean, whatever that develops. So, well, what should she do? I think she should talk to the Lord about it, and whatever he tells her to do, she should just do it. Yeah, but what do you say? Who cares what I say? I'm just me, and I don't know everything. Although I can certainly come across as knowing everything. So what? Go for it.
Whenever you was talking about marriage and the situation with you and Miss Sharon,
spit it out.
Okay, so I've read the Bible. I'm reading the Bible, and right. I believe every word that's in it.
Amen.
Okay, so when a man takes a woman to be his wife, he has brought her under his umbrella. And it, depending on what umbrella he is holding and standing under and relying on, affects the whole marriage, mm-hmm. affects everything. And I believe that when a man and woman are married, that there is, I don't like that word, a chain of command. I don't like that word, Lord.
Yeah.
But okay. So you have the umbrella, the God umbrella, the God. The man should be under that umbrella.
Yep. And then certainly should be.
And then the wife is under the umbrella of her husband. And since he is under the umbrella of God, she is double umbrellaed. Okay?
I can see that.
And I believe that a man, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it is, the word says, love your wife like you love the church, like I have loved you.
Yep.
Therefore, whenever there is discommunication, whenever there is a disagreement, mm-hmm. when it's beginning to be pulled apart,
mm-hmm.
or attempting to be pulled apart, I believe that the man should step up and be the man mm-hmm. that God called him to be, and show his wife how to yield.
Ephesians, which you just quoted from, says this. First of all, it starts off and it says, submit yourselves to one another out of fear of the Lord, reverence for the Lord. And then it says this. It says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband, even as unto the Lord. And all the men go, yeah, baby. You know, mm-hmm. and it's like, wait a minute, dude, we ain't done. It says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The reason why I know that so well is because I just did a wedding the other day. And if you've ever heard me do a wedding, I do use that every single time because I say this. So for a marriage to be all that God intends it to be, we see there must be mutual submission one to another. There's no tyrants. God didn't choose to make Eve out of the ground that Adam walked on. He didn't choose to make Eve out of the animals that Adam had dominion over, but God chose to make Eve out of Adam's own side. And when he brought her to Adam, Adam said, she is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Equals, but different equals. Mm-hmm. Very much equals. And I will say this, too. I don't disagree with you that there is an order in a godly marriage, that the husband is to be surrendered and submitted to the Lord and love his wife as Christ loved the church. And because he does that, the wife, it's real easy for her to submit to him. Mm-hmm. But if he ain't loving her the way Christ loved the church, this is my opinion, but I don't think she's obligated to submit to an ungodly husband. I think that's tyranny. He's not submitted to the lordship of Jesus, so he's pulled himself completely out of the equation. And ultimately, the umbrella you're talking about, ultimately, every one of us as individuals, regardless of what gender God assigned us at birth, and that's the one we have, regardless of whether we are a male or a female, we are to be wed and married in unity with Jesus Christ personally and intimately. And ultimately, that's, for those of you ladies, that's your ultimate umbrella. But then God has also given the gift to us as humans, mm-hmm, of the covenant relationship between a man and a wife, which is a reflection of the relationship between Christ and the church. And when it's in order, when the husband's listening to the Lord's voice and the wife's listening to the Lord's voice, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's a mutually beneficial relationship. Man, there are a lot of times I'm doing things as the husband and I'm thinking, dude, I'd like to be the wife today. Because I'm having to do some of the things that are a little hard to say. Well, yeah, but wives are perfectly capable too. I agree. Man, I'll tell you what, there wouldn't even be a church if it weren't for the strong women of faith in the church to carry the church. Man, because I looked around for years, I couldn't hardly find another godly man to stand with me. Now we got godly men in our church, but there was a time when I was looking around going, where's the men? Where's the men of God? But it all comes down to hearing the voice of the Lord. But yes, if you're married and your spouse is under the authority of Jesus Christ, submit yourselves to each other. Mm-hmm. I submit myself to Sharon a lot. Even though it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. That doesn't mean she has to eat where I want to eat every single time, watch what I want to watch every single time, do what I want to do every single time, whatever. It doesn't mean it's always my way or the highway, because if I'm loving her as Christ loved the church, Christ put us over himself. He got on the cross for our sins. So the husband ought to give himself up for it. He ought to always be thinking about his wife, his family's best interest, not his own. Which that is your own best interest, taking care of those that God gives you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I hope that helps someone. And listen, if you're struggling in your marriage, listen, I say this to people about getting married. Your marriage life is like sailing a ship. It requires a lot of adjustment, and you're going to go through a lot of storms, and your ship's going to get rats in it. Don't burn the ship. Kill the rats. And the best way to kill the rats is both of you working on the rats. Some of those rats are my pet rats, and some of those rats are her pet rats. I don't kill her rats. I kill my rats. She kill her rats. We both have a rat killing. And we get them. The more of the rats we get killed and thrown out of the ship, the more peaceful it is inside the ship, even if there's a storm going on all around us, because that ship of that relationship becomes our sanctuary together. And then we can go back to the back of the ship and lay down on the mat with Jesus and all have a wonderful nap. Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
The reason why we keep whispering, I know we're kind of over our time, and I'll take about 1 or 2 or 3 minutes and just say this. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19 in the Old Testament, there's a story about, it's not a story like a fairy tale, but it's the account of Elijah. After he had this great showdown on Mount Carmel, the one where you probably heard about where the prophets of Baal and all that, and they were crying out, and this, and Elijah said, hey, man, whatever God answers by fire, that's God. And he prayed, and fire came down out of heaven, burned up the offering. It was awesome. Go read it. That's the 18th chapter. But in the 19th chapter, it says, after that happened, and then Elijah prayed for the rain, and the rain came after a 3-year drought. I mean, it's wow, whoa. Elijah's on top of it. He's awesome. And he goes out from there, and word gets to Jezebel, the wicked Jezebel, the king's wife, who had all those prophets in the first place eating at the king's table. Well, they are no more because of the showdown. She says, I'll tell you what, Elijah, if your head is still on your shoulders by this time tomorrow, or whatever, she made a threat. He knew that she had the people that would follow her to carry it out, so he fled, went out in the wilderness, cried out to God. He goes, I'm done. This is over. Just take me now. He literally prayed that he would die. And the Lord didn't honor that request. He honored it in a different way. But Elijah was then, he fell asleep, and then he woke up, and an angel had brought a cake to him, fed him, whatever, and he got his strength back, and he carried on. And he went, and he found a cave to get in, and he's hiding out in this cave. And when he's in the cave, if you look at verse 9, in 1 Kings, he says, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, what are you doing here?" 1 Kings chapter 19, and this would be about verse 9, 10, 11. He said, "Elijah, what the word, listen, the word of the Lord came to Elijah." Says, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah said, Elijah replied, and he said, "I alone have stood for you, you know," and he begins to cry, you know, giving his sob story. And the Lord said to him, "The glory of the Lord is about to pass by. Go to the mouth of the cave." And Elijah goes to the mouth of the cave. Now, listen, it says the word of the Lord came to him. I believe this with every fiber of my God was speaking directly into Elijah's spirit. The word of the Lord came to his spirit. He wasn't hearing God with his ears. He was hearing him with his spirit. It says the word of the Lord came to Elijah in spirit. He goes to the mouth of the cave. The Bible says, "And then there came a mighty wind that blew, and literally the rock split, but the voice of the Lord was not in the wind. And then there came a raging fire, but the voice of the Lord was not in the fire. And then there came an earthquake, but the voice of the Lord was not in the earthquake." And then these famous words, it says, "But then there came a still, small voice." The NIV says a soft whisper. "And when Elijah heard it, he pulled up his prayer cloak and went to the mouth of the cave." You say, why did Elijah respond that way? Because he knew enough about God to know that God's voice is not like a hurricane. It's not like an earthquake. It's not like a raging fire. Can God thunder? Absolutely, God can thunder. The Bible says in Ezekiel 43:2, "I saw the glory of the Lord Israel coming in the east, and his voice was like the roar of rushing waters," like a giant waterfall. In John chapter 12, Jesus was praying, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And the people standing there said, an angel spoke to him. And some of them said, it thundered. You see, why didn't God talk out loud to us? Because it would just confuse you and scare you anyway. But he can speak out loud if he chooses to do so. When he did in the New Testament, when Jesus spoke and prayed and God spoke back in an audible voice, the only those who really wanted to hear it still heard it. The rest of them just go, "Oh, it thundered." And somebody said, "Well, I think I heard an angel talk to him." So God can thunder, but the predominant way that God's going to speak to you is not going to be in a thunderous, windy, big, bold, boisterous, knock you down. It's going to be in that still, small, sweet, Holy Spirit voice. And you need to pay attention. And when he speaks, you need to stop. And you need to acknowledge that he spoke to you, even if you don't like what he said. Because if you don't stop and acknowledge that he spoke to you, you're not putting your fingers in your physical ears. You're putting your wax over your hearing and your spirit heart. God, Elijah knew God well enough to know that God's voice is subtle and sweet, small. Although it doesn't have to be. He can thunder like nobody's business. When he needs to do it, he will do it. Hebrews 3 warns us about not hardening our hearts from hearing God. Three times in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, it says, "If today you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." You know how you harden your heart? By not listening and following what he said to do. You say, "Well, I ain't heard God talk to me in a long, long time." He's been talking. I guarantee you that. Today, if you feel like I can't hear from God, go tell God, "God, I feel like I can't even hear from you, but I want to. Give me a sensitive heart, Lord God. If there's something hindering me, Lord, if there's something blocking my ability to hear you, please, God, show me what it is." And I would be willing to guess that he's going to give you something. If you're open, if you're sincere about it, I don't be praying some religious patty cake thing. You're sincere. You really want to know what it is that's been hindering you from hearing. He'll tell you. He'll show you. Amen. Here's the last thing I'll give you. Go read Ephesians 4:17. through 20. Can I take two more minutes? Probably not, but I will anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're on Jesus' time. Ephesians 4.